Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277, online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello.
You're still a little bit snuffly, aren't you?
I'm a bit what?
A little bit snuffly still.
Snuffly. Yeah. I've got a cold, haven't I?
Yeah. Well, when you've had a cold for about 4 weeks now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I suffer.
Yeah. Well, just take some vitamin C and zinc.
Yeah.
And maybe some echinacea. Echinacea's really
in
good.
In that little snouted animal.
No, echinacea is...
What's that then?
An armadillo?
No. It's an echinacea or something, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know. I know about armadillos.
I'm not taking an armadillo. Why don't I want to take an armadillo? No. It's not going to kill my cold, is it?
What is your snouted animal? Because I love a snouted animal.
I just told you.
Well, what is it?
An echinacea.
Oh.
It's like a spiny hedgehog.
Oh, okay. It's not like a... what was that that they were accusing of giving us all COVID, those things?
That was a bat.
No. The little thing with scales on. With a tail.
Oh, pangolin.
Yeah, because they got all the flack, didn't they? Lovely little pangolins got all the flack, and it was a laboratory, wasn't it?
Okay.
Anyway, do take some vitamin C and zinc, and echinacea, 15 drops in a little glass of water.
Yeah, right.
That's what I and probiotic for your gut.
Yeah, right.
Because it all starts in your gut.
Yeah.
Because you're starting to annoy me now, very snuffly every week.
Yeah.
Typical man. Yeah, just, you know. Goes on with it, Louisa.
Hold on.
It
wouldn't be so bad, but you take all this junk and it doesn't help you.
I'm fit as a fiddle, darling. Fit as a fiddle. Look at me. No colds. Anyway, as I was going to say, I was talking to my lovely friend. I won't mention names because it's a bit personal about our business, but we're talking about the minimum rate wage going up. So it's gone up. Is it one? What is it now?
It's gone up a lot. From 2024, it's $11.44.
Mm-hmm. If you're over the age of
21 now.
She was saying she runs a couple of small businesses. You'll probably guess who it is.
Yeah.
Paul, you'll probably guess who it is.
Mm. I know who it is already.
She said that she's going to have to get rid of some staff.
Yeah.
Because she cannot afford the wage bills.
Yeah.
She can't put her prices up anymore because then the public won't go there.
Yeah.
Because they can't afford it. So she's going to have to get rid. Now, bearing in mind, she spent 4 years trying to get decent staff on jobsinkent.com.
You can always get decent staff on jobsinkent.com. But
it takes time in her industry.
Yeah.
And now she's got to give them all the sack.
Yeah. The problem is with things like this is that people look at the minimum wage and assume that's just how much it costs, which of course it isn't.
No, you've got your pension.
Yeah, because you have to pay, employers' national insurance on top of that. Mm. You have to pay workplace pension on top of that.
Yeah.
And you have to give a holiday pay.
Yeah.
So to pay someone $11.44, I think I worked out it costs you about £16 an hour.
Mm-hmm. She told me her wage bill, and it's astronomical. And, plus she buys them uniforms as well, and then they all go on diets, and she has to buy them another uniform.
Without getting too political about it, but by being political, the problem is politicians keep sticking their nose in everything and cocking it up. The fact is, everybody should have fair wages. There's no doubt about that. People need to be paid fairly for the work that they do.
And prices of food.
But the problem is it's not a singular argument, is it? I mean, I could pay people in my coffee shops £40 an hour as long as you're prepared to pay me 55 quid for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But then that negates the whole thing anyway. So you've got to be really careful with doing these things. I'm a great believer in paying people fairly. I think people need to be paid fairly. What needs to happen is we need to stop taking money away from them once you've paid it to them.
Exactly.
That's the biggest problem.
I mean, we've got a lot of people working from home now, and our house is really, really cold. We're on the seafront. My bedroom this morning with the boiler on was 13 degrees because we've got the north wind, the wind chill factor, and old windows which we can't afford to replace. Huge amount of windows, it costs thousands, and we're saving up. But so you've got your energy bills and you've got food bills. I mean, most people who are going shopping are noticing a difference with food.
Don't even get me started on energy bills. Guess who I got a letter from again? Blimmin' Opus.
Oh yeah, what they're saying.
Oh, send us £5,000. Why? Because you owe us £5,000. Why? Send us £5,000. That's
Is it a spoof?
No. It's Opus.
Well, I've been quite impressed with the Utility Warehouse, and I've been with them for years, and my mum's with them, and she's 93, and I called them up, and her phone bills were expensive compared with her mates, and they've put her on a different tariff. So she's now got a landline, of course. They are now...
She's lucky.
Yeah, they're a set price of 11, I think it's 11.24 a month. She can do it anytime, day, night, whatever. Because she, you know, she chats for an hour on the phone, as a lot of people do that are on their own. And that generation especially, she does WhatsApp, but she likes to talk. So that's good. I really was impressed. And they've put her on a vulnerable thing so that if we get power cuts, which I think we will get, because our country is ridiculous at the moment, I think we will get power cuts. So she's on a vulnerable thing that they'll go and see her soon. And I bought her lots of candles and a warm jumper and a scarf. But anyway. that's good. I would give Utility Warehouse a big thumbs up. They were really good on the phone and real personable chat. So yeah, minimum wage gone up. What else has happened? National insurance has gone down.
Allegedly, yeah.
And I haven't seen anybody doing cartwheels about that.
It doesn't affect me in any way at all.
And then
because I don't pay it.
No.
Because I'm a pensioner, Chris.
Yeah.
That's
He's got a bus pass, Chris.
I've got more than a bus pass. Okay. I'm well into my pensionable age, so at least I don't pay national insurance anymore.
Well, I was invited for a mammogram at Tesco supermarket.
Wow.
I won't have a mammogram because I don't think they're very good for breasts, squashing them and things and all that.
At Tesco's?
I don't do it. At Tesco's, yeah. When you get your shopping, yeah.
Are you sure about this?
Yeah, Tesco's.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm not even going there.
I don't even go to supermarkets, as you know much. I avoid them like the plague. Yeah. But anyway, I got a text this morning saying we're very sorry, but we're going to have to cancel due to ill health because they've made all their staff ill, poor things.
Hold on.
I texted back and said, I'm not coming anyway. I don't want a mammogram. Thank you very much.
In Tesco's?
Yeah, in Tesco. You go to the checkout, lie down there and squish your breast.
Scan it. Do you have to scan it yourself?
Yeah. You just go through.
Is it a self-scanner?
You lie down.
That's not what the scanners are for, Jules. See, somebody told her this. She's going to go and lie on a self-checkout and scan her breast to see if she's okay. Yeah.
Except I'm not. And it's like the office Christmas party, isn't it? Where you photograph your derriere
on the photocopier. Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't. I know a photocopier engineer that swore blind that the biggest damage to office photocopiers was people sitting on them. Yeah.
Talking of the office, I saw a brilliant TV programme, which I must tell everybody about because I'm a bit of a, you know, I'm a bit old now and I like proper TV. It's The Detectorist. And if you haven't seen it, it's really, really good. And it's got Thingy Bob McKenzie from The Office. What was his name? Unusual name, McKenzie.
Yeah.
Everybody will Google it now. Anyway, The Detectorist, I saw it. It's brilliant.
It was in Pirates of the Caribbean as well, wasn't it?
Was he?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that. I thought that was, what's his name? The Sparrow.
Well, he wasn't the only one in it, was he?
Well, I don't watch
Johnny Depp. He wasn't the only one in it.
Yeah. So, Johnny Depp's quite handsome, actually. But, you know, I'm old school. I like sort of Robert Redford and, you know, actors of old. But anyway, yeah, The Detectorist. What's his name, Mackenzie, now? It's really annoying me.
Mackenzie Crook.
That's it. Mackenzie Crook.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, what an unusual name, isn't it? Yeah, that's him. Yeah. Please watch The Detectorist. It's about six parts. It's absolutely lovely. It's gentle, gorgeous, great script. Even the new husband liked it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So welcome to the Business Bunker, and thank you. Do tweet us, as
usual. It's November now, so the only thing that we have on our television every night is Love Actually.
Oh, dear.
No, I know.
Yeah, I know that off
my head. Oh, don't we all?
Yeah. Do you wear your Christmas jumper while you're
watching? Oh, dear.
So a warm welcome to our guests. We've got Daryl Woodhouse of the Kent Foundation with lovely spiky hair, I have to say, Daryl. And we've only met online, haven't we?
Thank you very much, Jules. Yeah. Yes, we have. First time meeting in person today.
And, you know, you come up, you scrub up well.
And he said I was much taller than you expected as well.
Because you were sitting down when we were chatting before, I guess. Although now you are again. Anyway, he's here. He refused the instant coffee, and who can blame him? Daryl Woodhouse, Kent Foundation, and Louisa Jarrod and Chris McCallahan.
Sorry about that.
Say it.
It's a good effort. It's McAlonan.
Oh, well. Is that Irish or Scottish?
Yeah, Irish, yeah.
McAlonan.
Yeah.
Sounds like a dance you do after at your Auntie Edna's after a couple of Bucks fizzles.
No, that's the Macarona.
That's the Macalonan.
Yeah.
Chris McAlonan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes so much sense the way you say it.
Well, he would do, because he knows his own name, surprisingly.
It makes so much sense the way he says it, though, than the way...
Yeah, as opposed to the way you mangled it. Yeah, okay, fine.
And you can follow them on Orbital Internet. We are on Twitter, Madly, and all the others, Instagram. And we'd love to hear from you, listener.
Well, while you're saying that, we've had a tweet from Chips and Dinks, and they said it's almost time for the Christmas cheesy tunish. Well, Bev, it's not. It's November, love, so no.
Although I am making my Christmas gravy.
There will be cheesy tunish. There will be cheesy tunish. It's just not a Christmas track, yeah?
Yeah, I've worked it out. I'm not going to be flustered this year cooking, because I always do too much. So I'm actually doing prepping my Christmas gravy with the stock of it, which is like 15 chicken wings.
We've decided not to have turkey this year.
Oh, are you having beef?
Yeah.
From Donald Russell again. Donald Russell.
What?
Donald Russell.
He ain't coming.
That's who you normally get your turkey from, Donald Russell, you told me.
But we're not having turkey,
But they do all sorts of meats, Paul. Like, you're just being very curmudgeonly today.
Yeah.
It's this cold. If you took vitamin C and echinacea, you'd be just as pleasant as most men.
No, ain't going to happen. iTrust Assurance, the iTrust app redefining workplace dynamics, going beyond speak up. Listen, check this out. The best way to do that is to follow them on Twitter. iTrust Assure is their Twitter handle. It's a fantastic app they've got. Have a look.
And if you want to follow our guests on the Twitter, they are Orbital Internet. That's at Orbital Internet and at Kent Foundation.
Yep. Kin Stevens, the caring Kent lady. Hello, I really love a spooky Business Bunker shout out today.
Spooky.
Do you or your loved one need care at home? Your loved ones deserve the best. You can find out about our care home care service by going to our website, caringkent.co.uk, or you can email them at info@caringkent.co.uk, or you can do any of those.
And it must be the Kim show, because we've had a tweet from, or an ex-tweet from Liberty Eco Dry Cleaners. They hail from Chelmsford, where I was born. And they just got voted, well done guys, the best dry cleaners in Essex.
Blimey.
And they're an eco dry cleaner. They got the 2023 England's Business Awards winner, the best cleaning business. And well done to you guys. That's Kim. And I'm just looking up her surname because I'm very bad. Kim Florey, Florey, of Chelmsford. Look them up. They're an eco cleaner. Go and get your stuff all dry cleaned.
Fantastic. I'm going to take
Where they've written England's on the certificate, there's no apostrophe. England's should be an apostrophe.
England's?
England's Business Awards. Yeah. Should be an apostrophe.
How many of them are there then?
There's no apostrophes. Oh, because it's their Business Awards, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that's right. I think it should have an apostrophe.
Sure?
Yeah. I'll ask the husband. He's a journalist. I'm sure it should be. Belonging to.
Okay. Gratian for Business. OrbitalNet are a long-established Kent-based internet service provider. They're on today's Business Bunker show, so we're really going to be listening. Well, there
fantastic.
You go.
Fantastic.
Gracious. I wonder if Bev from Chips and Dinks has recovered from her birthday when she had all that champagne. I mean, she sounds as she has.
She might have done.
Yeah, but she was having quite a lot on her birthday, wasn't she? Mm.
Earl Street Recruitment. Good afternoon, Vanilla Webb and Jill Serkin. We're tuned in to today's Business Bunker show. Hello from the team at Earl Street Recruitment in Maidstone. Hello.
And we've got a new listener. Could you please give Wise Up ni.com a shout out? Not a biz, but a non-profit trying to spread the truth, and they are on Twitter at Irish Porn PAWN.
That made us all look up, didn't it?
Irish Porn.
She's reading out the spam emails now.
Irish Porn PAWN 71. Yeah, everyone in the studio went, well, you can't do that on radio, but they all looked up and pursed their lips.
Irish Porn.
And their eyebrows shot up to the ceiling.
I've got an email here from Maidstone Borough Council.
Oh, yeah.
What it says, follow the fun Christmas trail around Maidstone. Everyone's been encouraged to take part in a Peter Pan-themed Christmas trail organised by One Maidstone and supported by Maidstone Borough Council and the Hazlitt Theatre. I used to be a director of the Hazlitt Theatre.
I used to eat it from the butcher's. Lovely yeah. Hazlitt sandwich.
Oh, for
beautiful.
God's sake.
Don't often get it.
Everything in your life revolves around food, doesn't it?
Did you see my breakfast this morning?
Yes, I did. 4 fried eggs.
Yeah. Oh, no, there were 2 for the new husband.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There are 24 posters displayed in shop windows and outlets around the tent centre. Scan the QR codes on each one and then enter the competition and be in with a chance to win £150 of shopping vouchers or a VIP family panto ticket. Oh, no, you won't.
Oh, yes, they will.
The trail is now open and runs until Thursday, the 4th of January. There are 6 fun face boards will also be dotted around the town for people to take fun photos and share them on social media using @OneMaidstone and @VisitMaidstone and @Hazlitt_Theatre and tag #MaidstoneFunFaces. And you can download a copy of the trail map by going to maidstone.gov.uk/stayconnected.
Did you see my conundrum? I know you're desperate to play cheesy tunes, but I like to keep it going to about 21 past to make you huff. Did you see that I sent a card, a welcome to your new home card, to my son Che and Mimi, his lovely lady, and they never got it.
Oh, you've been annoying the Royal Mail,
yeah,
haven't you?
I put a second, you know, I'm quite an organised person.
I see they replied to you this morning.
I've just seen. They've taken 5 days. But I put a second class stamp on it, welcome to your new home, and they never got it. And then about 2 weeks later, Shay said, oh, I've just had this through the post. It says you owe us £2.50. And, well, a first class is only £1.25, and I put a second class stamp on, so I was baffled. Anyway, I tweeted it, and apparently they're obsolete, all these stamps. I never know. I listen to the news every day. My mother, 93, gets the Daily Mail. She never knew. So my whole book of stamps is obsolete. And you can't even cash them in. It's outrageous. It's too late. So Royal Mail have just said these stamps are no longer valid for postage. Therefore, surcharges would be applied to items when they're used. You can, however, swap out unused non-barcoded stamps for barcoded equivalents.
Yeah.
Oh, so I can.
You can swap them, yeah.
Oh, somebody said the cutoff had gone, but I will ask. But it's kind of awful, isn't it? Whatever happened to... And have you noticed now how many post office vans there are? They're everywhere. So I reckon they're having to up their game with Amazon and all the buy online stuff.
They all do.
They all do
deliveries the same as everybody else, don't they?
Yeah, but more now. It's like, you know, there's
well, that's where... That's
but you can't get a letter delivered. That's the only...
Who sends letters, for goodness sake?
Well, a welcome home in your new home card is a nice thing, isn't it, Louisa?
You've not heard of Moonpig, then?
Yeah, but Moonpig isn't the same. I went to a local shop. I bought a local card.
What's the other one? What's the other one that isn't Moonpig?
Moonpig.com.
No, there's another one.
Come on.
I can't remember what it is. Yeah.
The guess. You can't get the guess, can you, Paul Andrews? I mean, we're expecting them. Well, Louisa was Googling. She did do Crook McKenzie McKenzie Crook.
Yeah.
Crook McKenzie or McKenzie?
McKenzie Crook, for goodness sake.
I've got a best friend called Crook. Leslie Crook. And actually, her brother, Michael, who was a baby when I was in Essex, is now a world-famous sculptor, and he must come on the Business Bunker.
Blimey.
His sculptures are amazing.
Is he well chiselled?
He's very well chiselled. That was a bit wooden, wasn't it?
Yeah. All right, have you quite finished now?
Well, I'll take a breath, if you want. Oh, well, you know Earl Street, have you read them out?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
When?
About 10 minutes ago.
Where was I? Good morning to
you. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, exactly.
Good morning. I had a terrible morning this morning. Did you see the chaos? So the doorbell went as I'm getting ready. So I've got like half dressed, half mascara on, other eye not done. Went to the doorbell. It's about the Mercedes, my car, which has been in and out of the garage. Because what are they called? Sensors at the back, the reverse. They've bodged it. So the assessor had to come out for the second time. Didn't give us the time. So he's ringing on the doorbell, dog's barking. So I go out half-dressed with one eye done. And then I said, I'm really sorry, my husband's on a Zoom, COP28 or wherever it is, writing scripts and things for Dubai, and I'm half-dressed. So I can't come and sit in the car. Next minute, I said, can you just wait? Or here's the key. And he said, no, I can't go in the car without you. So I said, okay, just wait for me and I'll come out. So then I put on the next eye, put on a bit more clothing, and he rings the doorbell again. So I go out with like one boot on and, you know, one leg in my trousers. And I said, I'll just be a minute. And the dog's running out and escaping. And then I have to shut the door. I said, do you want to come in and wait? No, no, I'll wait in the car. So I have to shut the door. And then I go and put my leg in the trousers again, so I'm fully dressed. So you must think I'm this really odd creature. Like, one minute I've got no makeup on and I'm
naked.
Pretty
shrewd.
Next minute, half-dressed with one eye done. Next minute, suited and booted. But, yeah, sensor's not working. I've just reversed into a drive here very cautiously, you know, where we park. Very cautiously. Because someone's hogged the front one, so I have to do the reversing into the back.
I'll give up.
But you've hogged the front one, I noticed.
I did what?
You've hogged the front parking space, so I had to do the reverse one. And my sensors aren't working.
No, I haven't. I'm in our parking space at the back.
Yeah, hogged it.
There's only one.
Exactly, hogged it. Yeah, first come, first serve.
Well, you should get her on time, shouldn't you?
I know, I know.
Good grief.
I was tweeting in my car, I have to admit.
Yeah.
Cheesy tunage.
Oh, can I do that now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really kind of you.
Orbital Internet Group said, all of the team in the office listening, how we should pronounce Chris McAlonan's name. And they've put no apostrophe on McAlonan. No apostrophe. McAlonan's name, your name. I this grammar is driving me nuts.
Your grandma's what?
Grammar.
All right.
Yeah. But they're all trying to pronounce your name now. Go on, give us another go.
McAlonan.
Yeah, see?
Absolutely. Yeah. See, none of them... Chris has only worked with him 20 years. None of them knew that.
Yeah. I mean, he says it so well.
Yeah.
Start Me Up. And it's Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. Good song here. We're all going to get up and go, aren't we? Brown sugar.
Start Me Up.
Yeah. Clever what you've done.
You have to stop me up, I never stop, never stop, never stop. Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Tallis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out tallisifa.com.
Meet Holly. She's got a job, but she's unhappy for many reasons. She doesn't earn much, her manager doesn't support her, and the job has no future. But then she found jobsinkent.com. It's Kent's largest job site with over 25 years' experience. It covers all industries and sectors and has permanent, contract and part-time positions. Want to know more? 1. Visit jobsinkent.com. 2. Search jobs by industry, location and keywords. 3. Find thousands of jobs for you. And 4. Apply direct to the employer. Now she has a better income, she feels valued by her employer, and she's building her career. So, what are you waiting for? Visit jobsinkent.com today.
Right, Start Me Up, the Rolling Stones.
Good song,
that. In homage to Daryl Woodhouse of the Kent Foundation. Daryl, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. You have been on the show before, although not in the studio. I think we Zoomed it last time because we were in the middle of the lockdowns.
I think I did enough to get invited back, which
Yeah, although you were here with a different, slightly different hat on last time as well, weren't you? Because this is a fairly new thing. I think October you took over as chief executive.
Yes, well remembered. Yes.
Yeah. Why don't you kick off though, Daryl, by telling the listener a little bit about you.
Just the one.
There's only one. And sometimes I get distracted, so you've got to make it quick. No, good. Tell us a bit about you, and then we'll talk about the Kent Foundation.
Yeah, of course. Thank you very much, Paul. So I had an earlier corporate leadership career in financial services, spending a lot of time actually in the business banking sector. When I was in a national role for Barclays Bank, I joined a corporate social responsibility programme for middle and senior management to do paid volunteer time whilst working to mentor and support businesses.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, that'd be great. Change of scenery and chance to get out there more and help out in the community.
Skive off,
in other words, Paul. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed it. And seeing how many entrepreneurs had not had experience of managing people, writing business plans, building strategy, leading themselves and their teams. Seeing how many had not had that kind of experience, and seeing how I could then transfer my experience and knowledge to them and make a big difference in helping them beat the odds of failure, because not many businesses survive the first few years. I just really enjoyed it and saw how grateful they were. And that's where my mentoring journey began. And it's so much so that I decided to leave that career and start my own professional business mentoring coaching company 12 years ago. Since scaled that up internationally and also evolved into having a leadership training and strategic consulting arm for larger corporates. So we do that stuff as well as the startups and scale-ups. And then having established that business in recent years and having a good infrastructure, I was kind of looking for a project where I could start to give back more to the community, and it made sense to go down the business mentoring route. And that's when I discovered the Kent Foundation, which is 38 years old, I believe.
Wow.
And it's nearly as old as me. It's a charity has been around for a while now, providing various fully funded business mentoring and business growth services in especially to young entrepreneurs. There's a bit of a focus there. And this is a newly created role for them as chief executive. I'm currently doing it 3 days a week, so I've got a bit of time to keep my other business ticking over. But I get to now do what I love and help the foundation to scale up, help us increase our impact, help more young entrepreneurs, create more jobs in Kent,
And also a big focus of us is to reduce the pressures on the social care in the county. And it's well documented that if young people get a good education and they get good jobs, good careers, or independence through establishing, starting a successful business, then they are less likely to need services for homelessness, mental health, and other things. So it's really a great charity in terms of contributing to the county in many different ways.
Yeah.
And I've been working really hard since I started, meeting the team, meeting our network of champions, and creating some exciting plans for growth next year and beyond.
Absolutely, and kind of, I want to focus on that really in a moment. As you say, 38 years ago, is it that long? I remember, I'm so old, I remember it starting, and there was a chap called Paul Barron ran originally, because it originally started as a department of Kent County Council, yeah, and then it became a charity, and then Paul retired, and so on and so forth. And you've kind of come on board at a time where it's time to go to the next level, if I can put it that way. And I know that you have some exciting plans moving forward, and we'll maybe discuss those in a moment. But I know, because I came to it, and I come to it most years as well. You have a big event every year called BizFest, which is always a bit of a giggle. It was a lot of a giggle this year. It was a great thing, because it's an unusual event, isn't it? Because it's part business and part party.
Yes, well said. Yeah, I mean, you know, life can be tough and it can be too short. So if you can combine a bit of fun with good business, it's a win-win.
Absolutely. So just for those that have never been to BizFest, the late afternoon bit is all business talk and workshops and stuff like that. And then the evening, it's all drinking and music, isn't it? And partying, which is fantastic.
Yeah. We had free-flowing alcohol, some fantastic food, actually, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was.
And live music.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's an annual event that you run. I've actually chaired a few of those in the past as well. I have some incriminating photographs somewhere as well of some young ladies that had started a business some years ago. And I don't know how I ended up with the photographs of me and them, but I did. And for some reason, I still got them. Anyway, enough of that.
I'm not surprised, Paul.
Yeah. So talk us through the kind of processes that you go through with young people and their business ideas. How does the whole thing work? You know, if I'm a 25-year-old, well, whatever, and I've got this business idea.
25 and the rest, Paul.
Yeah, come I know. On. Yeah, well, there's three of me, and we're all 25. But, you know, I'm a young person with a business idea. What do I do? How does my first interactions with the Kent Foundation work?
Well, first step is to reach out to the Kent Foundation. So you can go through the website, kentfoundation.org, or you can drop us a friendly email directly, which is hello@kentfoundation.org. And then a member of the team, either myself or one of my my colleagues, will pick that up, and then we'll typically arrange a meeting or a call with you as soon as possible, so that we can get to know all about your great idea. If you're already established and trading, then we want to hear about, you know, what you're doing so far, and we'll be asking things like, you know, what's been going well, what's not going so well, what are your strengths in business, what are your previous experiences, what are your knowledge, skills, and connection gaps, and then we'll sort of do our best to recommend the different offerings we can provide you, such as matching you with a very experienced mentor, someone who's been there and done it. And typically, a lot of our mentors have been in very senior leadership positions in small and much larger companies. And many, of course, have started, scaled, and exited their own businesses as well. So we've got that that kind of diversity. Really, it's about matching you with the skills, knowledge, and the personality, because personality fit is important when matched with a mentor.
Absolutely. Can you give us an example of someone that you've helped off the top of your head?
I was put the little spotlight on Sophie, the founder of Devoted Home Care. She's one of our mentees for the last couple of years now. They're actually based from Ashford, which is quite nice, because we're in the Ashford studio today. She'd be a great guest, actually. They've been providing domestic home care services for a couple of years now, and Sophie's been very kind and thankful for the mentoring she's received from the foundation as being critical to that growth. And they're now just coming up to 50 staff, and nearly started three and a half years ago.
So what kind of thing do they do domestically?
So it's all about providing home care services, so typically to the elderly that are less functional and need a bit more help around the house these days. And they have a whole range of very safe, professional quality services, and they've had rave reviews now. In fact, we do an annual awards, which is coming up in the new year. And Sophie's organisation won Business of the Year for the last 2 years now.
Excellent.
I know she's got some competition for January, because I've been looking at the early entries. And
up your game, girl. Up your game.
Yeah, come on, Sophie.
Yeah.
But that's just one example. And mentoring was absolutely key to giving her the right knowledge and the confidence to go for growth and to scale up.
Yeah, there's so many good things to bring out here as well. Starting a business is difficult, especially for young people where they haven't maybe had a lot of experience either way in terms of having worked somewhere else or having started a business before. Business is incredibly difficult now. Politicians seem to want to invent new things every week that make life harder for everybody with rules. I have to tell you this because it made me laugh. I had a wonderful row last week on Twitter with a professor of economics from Glasgow University, who was on the BBC, and she was giving it large about how awful it was that the government were reducing the rate of capital gains tax. And her argument was that that would disincentivize companies from investing. Apart from the illogic of that, when I pointed out that companies don't actually pay capital gains tax, she started an argument. This is a professor of economics, and she started an argument with me. I had to point her at the government website where it says in the second paragraph, incorporated companies don't pay capital gains tax. It's taxed in their corporation tax bill at the end of the year. But, you know, so having had this fight with her anyway, but the fact is that there's just so many arcane rules now. You know, there's 12,000 pages of tax code alone. And as you know, Darryl, I run coffee shops. If you want to work out the VAT in a coffee shop, you need a degree in physics to do that. Yeah, because if it's hot, there's VAT. If it's not, if it's hot but taken away, there is. But if it's hot, if it's cold and not taken away, there isn't. If it's a cake, there is. If it's biscuit, there isn't. You know, and there are something like 20 different categories of whether you can or cannot apply VAT. If it wasn't for technology, no one could work that out. Luckily, we have a till that works that out for you. Yeah, otherwise it would be bonkers. I mean, we just charge everything at a price and it works out whether we have to give away 20% of it or not. You know, so it's bonkers. But all of that kind of stuff is difficult. And if you've got no experience of any of that, you can fall foul of those kind of things. Yeah, you can do a business plan that says, oh, I'm going to sell cans of that, you know, for a pound, and you go, well, hold on a minute, you've got to give 50% of that to the government, have I? So it's important. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I think confidence in imposter syndrome comes up a lot for a lot of business owners as well. Whether you're young, older, new, or very wise to business as well, and we see this a lot over the years through the clients of my company. Having that kind of critical friend, that mentor, to help sort of keep you balanced, to help reinforce actually your ideas are spot on and you have done your homework and your research, but you got to kind of stay confident, keep going, got to kind of have a growth mindset. And then, of course, when things don't quite go to plan, again, that mentor can help kind of help you get things back on track and fill those other important skills gaps.
I think that's an important thing as well that you just said, is that, you know, lots of us come up with business ideas to do things, but sometimes reality impinges on that. And I'm not being disparaging. I'm not saying, oh, look, it was a stupid idea in the first place, because it isn't. Yeah. But sometimes things pop out that you just weren't aware of, or things change. So one of the things about starting a business is you can't be too dogmatic about what it is you're doing. You've got to be prepared to react to the market, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. And that could leave you with a completely different product from the one that you thought you were starting with. Yeah. But then there's nothing wrong with that. And during the life of a business, that's going to happen anyway, because nothing is static anymore. I came out with a really interesting stat the other day, which shocked a lot of people when you were talking about the life of a small business and how many small businesses failed in the first year or two. But people don't realize how many big businesses fail as well. Yeah. In the year I was born, 1955, yeah, of the FTSE 100, i.e. the 100 biggest companies in the United Kingdom in that year, there are only 15 left in existence.
Wow.
The rest have all gone. They've either gone bust or they've been taken over, or you know, they've just changed and they're not the business that they were. And people don't realise that big businesses fade away. They do, you know. It's an odd thing.
You know, I'm really glad you said that one, Paul, because one of my other hats is as a tutor for a couple of the London business schools, and I teach a mini MBA program in business strategy, leadership, change management, and we like to look at examples of businesses that have done really well, and also ones that have not done so well and are not here anymore. And Blockbuster comes up quite a lot, which most of us can remember before we got rid of VHS, video cassettes.
Yeah.
Wow, I feel really old saying that. but not a lot of people know this about Blockbuster, unless you've actually read up on it online in depth, because it's all public information in terms of what actually happened and why they went bust. But one of the big reasons was, of course, not innovating, staying on top of opportunities and digital transformation.
Yep.
One of them was not listening to customers and finding out how their buying changes and their needs were changing, and they were a bit nonchalant, I would say, about them knowing best that they were doing the right strategy and it was going in the right direction. There's another story, which is incredible, really. The CEO of Blockbuster was approached by some young entrepreneurs who had a company. It was called something else back then, but it's now known as Netflix. And they offered Blockbuster.
It was Love Film, wasn't it? When they were called Love Film?
Possibly, that might be the one. And they were the CEO of Blockbuster was offered the opportunity to purchase Netflix for $50 million. Was it dollars or pounds? Mm. Either way, not a lot of money considering it's now an organization worth billions. Now, apparently, the CEO kind of literally laughed the entrepreneurs out of the room, didn't even go away and do a situation analysis to actually consider, oh, why might this be a good idea? Mm. It just, off his own gut feel, own instinct, didn't consult his colleagues, didn't assess the opportunity, and then a couple of years later, you know, the rest. You know, so there are very public big examples of big companies, like you say, that get it wrong. Mm. Whatever the size business you're in, business is tough, and you've got to adapt, you've got to change, you've got to be proactive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and those big failures are as good an example of failing to adapt, aren't they?
Yes.
You know, you get to a point where you go, no, we're huge, you know, we're making millions.
Complacency.
Yeah, and you get very complacent, don't innovate, or stop innovating, and before you know it, the whole thing can go. Not necessarily, and it isn't necessarily going to go overnight. Some businesses fade away gradually. I won't bore you with a story now, but we all make mistakes about investments from time to time. I'll just say that I was offered an opportunity a long, long time ago to invest in a Dutch software company for a measly £100,000 for 26% of their equity, which I scoffed at and said, no, your product's ridiculous. I can get what your product does for £6 and you're trying to charge £1,000 for it. It'll never work, which is why I don't own. What?
You don't own.
I don't own an online.
TomTom, was it?
An online company called TomTom.
TomTom. Yeah. Do you know what? I still prefer TomTom to the sat nav of my Merc, which is absolute rubbish.
Yeah.
TomTom was great. It is really good. Yeah. How do you feel about that, Paul Andrew?
What a question.
Yeah.
As you lie at home sipping sherry.
If only this was like a TV show and everyone could see his face right now.
Yeah.
I think for Paul's ego, I think we should move on and look after his well-being.
I class myself as the same bloke that told the Beatles they were rubbish, but they
brilliant.
It happens. We can miss opportunities.
Yeah. And we all make mistakes. Even
the
smartest
of us. Climbing off the dustbin.
What I'd like to focus on now, if I may, Darren, because we've established the fact that there's a massive need for young people wanting to start their businesses. As you know, I do quite a lot of work in schools and colleges and universities, and I talk to a lot of young people, and I'm still always enthused by how many want to start their own business. If not right away, at least eventually, because without them, we don't have an economy. You know, small businesses are a lifeblood in the economy, employ 61% of everybody that's employed, 5.7 million businesses. One of my favourite statistics, there are 5.7 million businesses in the UK, and 5,692,000 of them are small.
Yep.
Yeah, there are less than 2,000 big businesses. All of that is really important. What I want to kind of look at a little bit now is the mentors that you use. Tell us a bit about them. Tell us the people that get involved and how to get involved, should people want to get involved, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Yeah, so we currently have just over 83 mentors within our community of champions. We are looking for more, but as I sort of alluded earlier, we've got mentors from all kind of backgrounds. You don't necessarily have to be a multi-billionaire property or entrepreneur, tycoon, because... Yeah, it'd be great to have a few more of those, by the way. It's not just about that kind of experience. There's lots of other value that different people can bring from across our county, from networking skills and connections to sales skills, leadership skills, how to find and hire the best people and how to retain them, like HR leadership type stuff. And what we've been able to do within the foundation is to basically we've built a matrix, if you like, not like the movie, but a matrix that kind of gives us a good summary of all the different industries and the skill sets and the experiences that we have covered within that pool. And then when we have those first meetings with the new entrepreneurs that come into the fold here, and we then obviously carefully will then match them up and initially keep them off of a chemistry call.
Right.
But there is also more, so we do want more mentors, but we are also expanding the other services we provide. So we've got startup boot camps, we've got our own style of Dragon's Den events as well, which have been going quite well. And then we're also building out an e-learning platform.
Okay.
With a whole load of pre-recorded masterclasses and skill-based topics are key things to help you grow a business.
Fantastic.
And then we've got stuff for both the startups and for the established business as well. So actually, great, you've got started, you've got established, but now how do you scale it up and breach that magic seven figure that we talk about and get into multi-million revenues per year.
Fantastic.
So we can cater to everyone in that regard.
That's brilliant. And I love the range of things you're doing, and all of it's important. Just talking about Dragon's Den style stuff and about investors in business, is raising finance something that you help with?
Yes, absolutely. It's a big one. It's something that I'm looking to strengthen our offering, and I bring a lot of my own experience of fundraising and helping many other businesses to fundraise. So that's that could be quite helpful. And we're actually building a wider network of fundraising partnerships. So both the we've got the investment angel side, we've got private equity side, and then there's of course the banks, and there's other fantastic initiatives such as, this is a good time to mention it, the Kent and Medway Business Fund, which has just been launched, led by Kent County Council, and I encourage everyone to go and have a look at the website kmbf.co.uk, and you've got borrowing loans to borrow of up to $600,000 for earlier stage and for bigger companies in Kent as well, and it's 0% interest, and they've got pretty, as far as from my own banking experience, it can be quite a painful process applying for funding, but credit to Kent County Council having met some of the board team decision makers for this last week at a launch event. They've got a really slick process. They've made it really easy to apply, and they've got a very high acceptance rate as well.
Fantastic.
So I thought that was worth a mention. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're looking to help push that out to our community, because obviously cash is king, as many say. Yeah. And it's one hand, it's great to help a business survive. But with some proactivity and probably some good mentoring, it can be a really great way to proactively invest in longer-term growth and perhaps make some hiring and expansion decisions earlier than you might do if you didn't have access to that extra funding.
So yeah, absolutely.
Something that's good to consider.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? It's one of the things that so many new businesses kind of worry about, is raising money to start. Personally, I'm a big fan of bootstrapping, because I think it's important that you don't just, you know, take in money for the sake of it and give away a part of your business in the early days when it has no real value. I've seen too many decent businesses come a cropper by giving away too much of their ownership early on, in order to, you know, so they could buy themselves a car or whatever. And that's not good. I mean, there are some businesses that are capital intensive, and you need capital to start. There's no doubt about that. But it's interesting. And I also like what you said about the KCC fund, because in years gone past, it's good that they've learned some lessons, because in years gone past, some of those funds that KCC and other organisations had were incredibly difficult to actually get access to. And I've had many meetings with senior people at KCC in the past who bemoaned the fact that they managed to get lots of funds from central government and then nobody took the funds. But when you point out how difficult it is to actually get the, you know, to go through the process, we had one many years ago. There was a startup fund, and the people running it rang me and said, we've got 60 million quid burning a hole in our pocket and nobody's applying for startup funds. Well, that's weird. I go to look at their website for it, and on the front page it says, are you a startup business? Would you like zero interest loans? Would you like grants? Supply us with 4 years worth of your accounts. In what world does a startup business have 4 years worth of accounts? I mean, it's just bonkers.
Who thought that up then?
Yeah, exactly.
Someone who's never run a business.
Well, when I pointed it out, everybody went, no, it doesn't say that. And I mean, read your own website. I think they've learned their lesson from some of those things.
Yeah. and actually, you know, if anyone's had a look at the website already, kmbf.co.uk, they've got, thank you. They've put together a really nice and simple, sort of, it's one of those drop down menu type things where it's like got frequently asked questions, and you just got to, it takes a couple of minutes to read through that. You can quickly see if you're going to qualify or not. And then you contact the team and start the process. And of course, with a mentor from the Kent Foundation, you've got someone there who's got experience of fundraising and helping you get the business plan right, and help give you the confidence to go and make that pitch.
Yeah, and that's what we need. And that's very much what we need. Daryl, that's fantastic stuff. I'm keen on working closely with the foundation, because I love what you do, and I think you have a lot to offer young people. When you say young people, that's 16 to 30?
Almost. At the moment, it's 18 to 30.
Right.
I say at the moment because one thing we're exploring as amongst our board team are whether we drop that number.
Yeah, because lots of people later in life leave mainstream work and start up their own.
Yeah, yeah. Really, and I believe that we're in a generation now where diversity and inclusion is a big theme, and actually are we potentially discriminating by having an age bracket on there?
So, I think that's a really good idea. So, there's been a tweet here from Neville Gaunt for you, Daryl, which is, says, when Kent Foundation launched the mentoring program, a key takeaway from all the mentors was the matching process. And he says, I've seen hundreds of programs around the globe know this, but have lost it along the way. So it's great to hear it's still in the DNA of the Kent Foundation process. And that's from Neville Gaunt.
Brilliant.
You can follow Neville, his name on the Twitter, Neville with two L's, Gaunt, G-A-U-N-T. So thank you for that, Neville.
That's a lovely feedback and observation. Thank you, Neville.
Yeah, he's made notes, Neville, as well. I saw him making notes.
He's got his name down there. What's the very next thing you're going to do, Daryl? That's a horrible question.
Next thing... we've got a range of expansion plans that are in motion now for the gearing up really for the new year.
Yeah.
One thing in particular, which I've just got to plug now, and it's the launch of the Kent Champion community. Anyone can be a champion if they want to, and they can feel good about themselves by doing a bit more for charity, for a good cause, and one that helps the local economy at the same time. And the great news is that becoming a Kent business champion doesn't take much time, and it doesn't involve having to empty your pockets unless you want to.
Right.
So we've got a range of choices of how you can become a champion. The most simple and time-effective one is help us meet some of your network. So anyone that you know who might be a mentor might benefit from some mentoring from us. Anyone who might have some time where they might and some experience where they might like to become a mentor, which only takes as little as 10 to 12 hours per year. So again, really low time commitment. We've also got a call out to these champions to look for SMEs that and larger corporates that might be willing to second some resources to us, possibly on a temporary or part-time basis, especially around helping us increase our marketing, help some of our community work and some of our events. That's great because more and more companies are doing paid volunteer days, and it's one of the top ways that organizations can increase employee engagement and staff retention and boost employee morale. So again, that's a good one. And of course, if any individual or company would like to provide some sponsorship, we take donations from £10 up into the thousands, with a load of other kind of marketing benefits that we can provide at the same time as well. So a champion can make a handful of introductions to any one of those type criteria, or a champion who might be listening now, our one listener, might be thinking, oh, I quite fancy being a mentor, or my children are thinking of starting a business, so I'm going to get them in touch with the foundation.
All my grandparents.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you, Jules. Yeah. So we're trying to make it really easy for people to get more involved with us as a charity, to play a bigger part in the Kent community. And it really doesn't have to take much time and resource or money. So hopefully that would appeal, especially for people who are passionate about the local economy and creating jobs and supporting 90% of our population of businesses in Kent, which are, of course, small and medium-sized businesses.
Yeah. Fantastic. Daryl, a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Give us a shout out for the website again.
So it'll be kentfoundation.org.
Fantastic. Daryl, thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
It's an absolute pleasure. We wish you continued success with the Kent Foundation. We're going to join the newsroom. When we come back, we're going to talk to Chris McAllen.
Nearly. Chris McAllen.
Close, Paul. Close.
I like Mr. M.
Yeah. Mac. I'm going to get it right. Yeah.
I think Mac. Need to drink Guinness.
And Louisa Jared from Orbital Internet. We're going to join the newsroom. Do stay with us.
Back soon.
Cheers for now.